Have you ever noticed how many Christmas carols are set against the backdrop of night, of darkness? Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus Lord, at thy birth, Jesus Lord, at thy birth. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, a thrill till he appears and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night, O holy night, O night divine. O come, Emmanuel. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night, and turn our darkness into light. Hark the herald angels sing. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Or even go tell it on the mountain. While shepherds kept their watching or silent flocks by night, behold throughout the heavens there shone a holy night. A holy light. Thank you. We don't actually know what time of day Jesus was born. O come all ye faithful actually includes this line. Yea, Lord, we greet thee born this happy morning. But we don't base what we believe on songs, but on scripture. So we're going to look, we're going to start in Luke's gospel. You can turn there with me if you'd like. And before we dig in, let's pray together. Father, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to bring light and life to those in darkness. I pray this morning that you would shine the light of your word, of your truth, into our hearts, that we would be receptive, that we would be those that are open, willing to see you for who you are, willing for you to expose the darkness in us so that you can change us, fill us with your light, with your truth, with your glory. Father, give us eyes to see Jesus this morning, to worship him as he deserves. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. It's in your mighty, matchless name we pray. Amen. Luke's gospel simply tells us about the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Amazing that God, in sovereign control, causes the emperor to issue a decree to tax his subjects, which forces this couple to travel to the right place so God's Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled. It's amazing. Who likes taxes? And yet God's using taxation and Roman oppression to fulfill his purposes. God's bigger than what we see as our problems. to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room, no place for them in the inn. This doesn't tell us what time of day it was. It simply says that when the time came for her to give birth. We make the assumption, and it's probably a fair assumption, that the time the angels appeared to the shepherds was maybe around the same time that Jesus was born, because the next verse says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So, why night? Why darkness? Why such an emphasis on darkness and the light shining into dark places? These are echoes. These are reflections of prophetic hopes. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I am Yahweh. I have called you in righteousness. Talking about Yahweh's servant, the servant of the Lord, the coming one. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Light for the nations, eyes open to the blind, prisoners brought out from the dungeon, those who sit in darkness. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Yahweh will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. When John, who would be the baptizer, was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, Zechariah prophesied in Luke chapter 1, verse 76 and 77 through 78, you child will be called prophet of the Most High, talking about John. For you will go before Yahweh, before the Lord, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the temple, Simeon, a holy man, took the baby Jesus in his arms and blessed God, saying in Luke chapter 2, my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. What is this darkness from which the prophets promise us escape? We all understand the dangers of darkness, don't we? Anyone ever stubbed your toe in the dark? or misjudged something in the dark? We were hiking. It was getting dark. I missed a turn in the trail. And we were wandering for a while, trying to figure out where we had gone wrong and where the trail actually was. And it's just easy to lose your way in the dark. But that's not the way the Bible describes this kind of darkness. As a circumstance outside and beyond our control. It's something that happened and now I'm suffering the consequences because it just happened. Psalm 107 thanks God for His steadfast love, for redeeming people out of their trouble. And in verse 10, it says, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. Well, that doesn't sound very great. Darkness, the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction, and how'd they get there? Why? What happened to them? Well, verse 11 tells us, for because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Prisoners in darkness, in the shadow of death. Why? Because of their rebellion against God. They're ignoring His word to them. This darkness is not a circumstance that just happens. This is a consequence for disobedience. It's darkness in Psalm 107 is parallel to the shadow of death, because the wages of our sin is death. It's what we deserve for our rebellion. When we rebel against God, when we spurn His word, when we reject the light that's been given to us, we deserve to be plunged into darkness. That's actually what we've chosen for ourselves. I don't want your light. What's left? Darkness. This darkness is not a benign circumstance that just happens upon us. It is something we willfully, rebelliously embrace. But amazing grace, this psalm doesn't leave us there. It goes on in verse 13, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank Yahweh for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man, for He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Darkness, a punishment for our disobedience, a punishment that God Himself can graciously overcome when we cry out to Him. Proverbs chapter 2 promises to the one who seeks God's wisdom in the fear of the Lord that wisdom will guard you. Verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. This is not simply accidentally losing your way because you're not seeing clearly because it's dark outside. This is willfully forsaking the right paths to walk intentionally in ways of darkness, which are further described as rejoicing in doing evil, delighting in the perverseness of evil, crooked and devious. So when we read in these scriptures about darkness covering the earth and people walking in darkness, people who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, we should not think, oh, poor helpless them, I wish somebody would turn the lights on for them. Rather, we should think, that's me. I deserve death. I'm in darkness of my own willful choice because I rebelliously chose to reject God's light. I chose the darkness. We need to be honest. We need to be realistic about the dark. It's dangerous. It's destructive. It's guilty darkness. And it's my fault because I chose it. It is my darkness that provides the backdrop to the Christmas story. This is why the gospel is so amazingly good. John begins his gospel in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. The divine Word, the creator of all that exists, the source of all light and life, the one who was with God and who himself is God, shone into the darkness, my darkness. The darkness doesn't grasp the light, doesn't comprehend the light, can't overcome or overtake the light. John 1 verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." The true light, the one who is himself life and light, was coming into the world. The light that overcomes the darkness is personal. It's not a thing. It's not an it. It's not a wave or a particle, I don't know, it's a person. He came. And he came to be known. And the world did not know him. He came to break the darkness in his people, and his own people did not receive him. When the lights came on like cockroaches, we scurried for cover. John 3 says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." This darkness is dark indeed. It is guilty darkness because we don't want to be exposed to the light. We willfully forsake the right path. We rejoice in evil. We love the darkness. Light has come into the world, and we hate it. We hate the light. We refuse to come to the light. Light shines into our prison cell on death row, and we recoil back into the shadows. But Jesus came not just to shine a light, but to open blind eyes, to bring people out of prison. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about unbelievers who the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. He didn't just shine light on our circumstances. He shone light into our hearts. The Spirit of God can open blind eyes. God overcomes our darkness so we can see. So we can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we can see that the prison we are in is a prison and we want out of it. So we can see the light of the good news and believe in Jesus and be rescued. John calls this the new birth. Being born of God, being internally transformed. John 1 verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was God's will. God brought us forth by his word of truth. He pierced our darkness and opened our blind eyes and broke our prison bars. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Jesus' story begins and ends in darkness. He came as a light shining into our darkness. The true light was coming into the world to open blind eyes, to set captives free, and we took him into custody. And we mocked him. And we beat him. And we blindfolded him. See the irony there? The light of the world, and we tried to blindfold him, the one who comes to open blind eyes. We crucified the one who is life between two thieves. And all those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. By the way, had he done what they requested, they could not believe. Because there would be no salvation to believe in if Jesus had not died on the cross for their sins. For this rebellion. For this mocking. For this ridicule. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus' story began in darkness, as the light shining in a very dark place. Jesus' story ends in 3 hours of deep darkness, as the Father forsook his only Son. As Jesus, the sin bearer, took my darkness on himself, suffered my separation from his Father. But it was in that darkness that he defeated darkness and undid death. And that's not the end of the story. So when you see the Christmas lights twinkling in the darkness, let them remind you of this. This world is a really dark place. Because our hearts, my heart is a really dark place. And Jesus came to penetrate into my darkness, open my blind eyes, and reveal to me His glorious light. Let's pray. Father, thank You for sending Your only Son, Jesus, to become a human so that as a human, He could enter into our hurt, our mess, our brokenness, the mess we created. And bring light, and bring hope, and bring life. Jesus, thank You for coming. You knew what it would cost You. We can't wrap our minds around what it cost You. The second person of the triune God, eternally in fellowship with Your Father, somehow crying out from the cross, my God, why have You forsaken me? Shall I not drink the cup my Father has given me? This is why I came. Thank You, Jesus, for suffering the separation from Your Father that I deserve, that I should experience for eternity. But You died to bring us, You came to bring us near, to reconcile us, to heal our broken relationship. To forgive us our sins, to wash us clean, to make us new inside, to give us eyes to see the light of the glory of Your Father in Your shining face. Help us to look today, to stand in awestruck wonder and worship You. Because of who You are, because of what You did. Thank You, Jesus. It's in Your holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to move into a time of communion where we reflect on the gospel, where we remember Jesus, and where we actually take what He gave us, bread and juice, bread broken, to remind us that His body was broken and torn on the cross. Juice that reminds us that His lifeblood was poured out on the cross to wash a sinner like me, a sinner like you, clean. To forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to invite some of the men to come to prepare to serve us. Communion, bread and juice, symbols, reminders, means of grace to us. We simply receive these things as a gift. We take them and we are changed. We're changed as we reflect on the gospel. We focus our hearts and our thoughts on the gospel and celebrate together how good God is. So I'd invite you, if you're a believer in Jesus, take bread, take juice, hold those in your hands and reflect. Reflect on the light of the world that came to overcome your darkness, to reconcile you to a holy God. The peace that we now enjoy because of the cross. Once we've all been served, we'll take that together. And if you are here today and not a believer in Jesus and have not entrusted yourself to His care, I invite you right now today to simply cry out to Him and say, I'm the problem. It's my darkness that's broken and messed up Your world, and would You shine Your light into this dark place, into all the recesses and cobwebs and corners, and would You clean house? And would You make me new inside? Would You forgive me and make me part of Your new creation? so that I could shine as a light that points to the light in the world. Jesus, thank you that you came to expose this dark heart, but not to shame me or ridicule or humiliate, but to humble enough to receive a gift I didn't deserve. You came to break the prison bars, open these blind eyes, and set this captive free. Thank you, Jesus, for exposing to us our sins so that we could run to you as the only hope and our rescuer, who forgives our sins and washes us clean. Thank you, Jesus. We receive a good gift from your hand, and we reflect on what it costs, and we worship you. His body broken for you. Take and eat. His blood poured out to wash our filthy stains whiter than snow.